Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Making of Outlander, the Series, the Official Guide to Seasons 1 and 2, by Tara Bennett, narrated by Tiffany Morgan. Introduction, Diana Gabaldone. I get a lot of totally undeserved praise for the Outlander show. Granted, I did write the books, and I did give the world Jamie, Claire, and Blackjack Randall, and a few hundred-odd other people, but my only part in the evolution of this fantastic show was to be extremely lucky. "You were so smart to hold out for Ron," all the fans exclaim. "How did you approach him, or did he come looking for you?" To be perfectly honest, I'd never heard of Ronald D. Moore prior to the film rights being acquired by Sony and hadn't the slightest idea what a showrunner was or what one might do. So, what did happen? Well, you've probably heard of a film option. In essence, this means that a production company pays a writer a modest amount of money in return for a period of time. During this period, the producer has the exclusive right to kill themselves trying to put together the necessary financing, staffing, and logistical package needed to make whatever film adaptation they have in mind. If they succeed, they pay you a slightly larger sum, which is the purchase price of the film rights. Thereafter, they own it in perpetuity, throughout the universe, forever. You'll never get it back. This is a hard thing to do, though, and most options lapse without anything happening. But there's always an outside chance that one will come to fruition, and this is why you don't want to do option agreements with people unless you trust them to do a reasonable adaptation of your work. Frankly, most film people don't have the slightest intention of making a faithful adaptation of your work, though some are more honest than others about saying so. It therefore behooves a writer and a writer's agents to be careful about whom you do options with. That being so, in spite of constant requests, we'd optioned the books only 4 times since Outlander was published in 1991. The first 3 options lapsed without result, as expected. The 4th was a guy named Jim Kohlberg. We liked Jim, and we still do. He'd made some very good small films, he genuinely loved the book, and he had a lot of persistence. I did tell him, as I've told people for the last 25 years, that I didn't think it was possible to make a 2-hour movie out of Outlander that had anything to do with the actual book, but he had my blessing to try. And try he nobly did, through several years, several option renewals, and several scripts done by really good scriptwriters. Let's just say that I was right about the 2-hour movie thing. Somewhere in this process, though, a lightning bolt hit the biological soup in some remote primordial swamp, and something new stirred in the depths. Ron Moore finished Battlestar Galactica and began looking for a new television project that he could be passionate about. Introduced to Outlander by his production partner, Merrill Davis, backed up by his wife, Terry Dressbach, who'd also read and loved the books, Ron read it and got interested. He found out who had the option on the books and called Jim. Jim still wanted to make a 2-hour movie, and Ron, ever a patient man, bided his time, he or Merrill calling back every 6 months, until at last Jim conceded that it might be a TV show. And lo, Sony spake, the ground shook, and 2 years of intense negotiation ensued, ending up, finally, in a baroque 5-sided agreement involving Sony, Ron, Jim Kohlberg, Stars, and me. I didn't know Ronald D. Moore from a hole in the ground at this point. In all fairness, he didn't know me from a hole in the ground either. But he wanted to make a 10-episode TV show out